Hello, and welcome to Love in the Time of COVID-19. I'm Julie Stampler. Hope you're managing to stay safe and stay healthy as we begin to reemerge from the pandemic. Though it is clear it's happening too quickly in a lot of spots because the numbers keep going up. And we know how vital testing is because we won't be able to map the virus without following it and watching it and learning from it. And we also know how vital masks are. So don't be a mask hole. Wear your mask, okay? Jeez, in this last month, we have been faced with so much ugliness, sadness, death, destruction. So I decided that for this episode, I'm going to take a sharp turn and refocus on hope and on the future and on love. That's what love in the time of COVID-19 is about. I'm thinking about how dating is going to be even more difficult now because, well, you know, we're quarantining and isolating for the most part, right? But now we have to be concerned about actually getting physically close to someone because we don't know if they've been exposed. We don't know what they have or don't have. So the thought has been that we would go back to a time when words actually had value, the written word, the spoken word. And I'm not talking about just, you know, emojis. And yes, I have gotten the eggplant emoji as a pickup line. I sent back an emoji of a kitchen knife. Do better than that, folks. But I haven't given up on dating and haven't given up on finding love, but it is definitely difficult to navigate with all of this online madness. I am coining a new condition. I actually call it ODDD or ODDD, Online Dating Deficit Disorder. Have you ever done this? You know, the swiping madness? You swipe right, you swipe left. It gets to a point where you're not even seeing the profiles anymore, just swiping. And for me, anyway, it's usually left, and left is a no, right is a yes, right? Swipes are rare, at least for me. Maybe I'm picky, but I know what I like, and I know what I definitely don't like. But ODDD, Online Dating Deficit Disorder, you match with somebody, they actually seem kind of great, but you can't stop swiping. So you've kind of forgotten you just matched with Fabio, but now you've got Gerardo. Maybe Gerardo's better than Fabio. And now I feel like we need to do a versus. Fabio versus Gerardo. Rico Suave. I don't know. Let's throw some of that up there. But there's definitely an online dating deficit disorder that happens. We stop really trying to connect with people. That's why I knew I needed to have a conversation with this next person, who was actually introduced through a mutual friend, because he knew I would be into the conversation. And as soon as I got on the phone with her, I knew we were going to be fast friends. We both have an unreasonable pickiness when it comes to teeth. They don't have to be perfect teeth, just decent and hopefully mostly all there. Don't get me wrong, some people have signature gap-toothed smiles that work for them. Madonna, Lauren Hutton, Michael Strahan. I've got a couple of really good friends who would not be their adorably cute selves without their gap-toothed grin. But they've got nice teeth around it. All right, now I sound like the Tooth Patrol, and I am a little bit, but that's why I adore my guest today, because she gets it. Her name is Bonnie Winston, and no, she's not a dentist. She's a matchmaker, and not just any matchmaker. She's a celebrity matchmaker and relationship expert. You've seen her quoted in all kinds of publications, and she is going to set me up with Brad Pitt. I mean, I don't know. I hope she is. Well, I guess we'll see. But Bonnie is the real deal. She's high end because she saves you time and aggravation in the world of dating, especially if you're a high powered executive or maybe even an Oscar winning movie star. Hi, Brad. And Bonnie does all the vetting for you. But I decided, you know what? I'll let Bonnie explain her gifts to you. I love her tagline. I find mates, not just dates. So sit back, listen to my interview with Bonnie Winston, matchmaker extraordinaire.
So Bonnie's considered herself a matchmaker since she was 16 years old, and I am grateful that she's taken the time out of her day to talk with me and us about finding love. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I love your show.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you. And I...
Thank you.
But it's interesting because when I reached out, I have a girls thread. And I said, all right, fine. I'm talking to this celebrity matchmaker relationship expert. Hey, ladies, what are some questions? And one of the first ones that came right back to me was, why would somebody need a matchmaker? So let's just start there, the basic. Why would somebody need a matchmaker?
Well, there is a lot of falsification online. I'm not saying it's not a good way to meet people. It is. It is a good way, but it is can be time consuming. And like I said, it's a lot of people are on there for sport. When I was young, we used to make something called phony phone calls. And I think there are a lot of even, you know, well-meaning, but just teenagers that are doing it just, you know, having a good time and catfishing, not even, you know, badly intentioned. And then there are the married men and the married women that do it, like I said, for sport. But I do know people that have been online and have been very successful. The reason I think people hire me is because they want to outsource their love life. They're sick of doing it themselves. They may have personal trainers. They may have personal chefs. And then they get a matchmaker, a personal matchmaker, like anything else in their life, to outsource that thing that they don't have time for.
But it makes you wonder, right? If somebody doesn't have, quote, time for, how do you even figure out if they've got time for an actual relationship?
Most people that are paying the big bucks are serious intentioned. And I also don't just match people up. I give, I'm a relationship coach. So I also try to get them, give them advice to get them into relationships. And there is a woman that I did meet with and I really liked her and I had a lot of respect for her. And she was very, very successful. And during our 1 hour and 20 minute meeting, she looked at her phone, every message, and she took 3 phone calls. And I determined that she was not ready for a relationship, that no matter who I set her up with, she was never going to have the time in her life. And I did not take her on. I did not think I would be successful in matching her.
That was actually one of the questions I had, was whether or not you've ever been in a situation with someone where you have decided, nope, not taking that one on.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a guy that contacted me. He was in his 60s. He wanted children naturally.
Wow.
He wanted to marry somebody younger than 34 in his head because he wanted these, you know, and he knew the number of children. He wanted 4. He did not have the money like Charlie Chaplin or Tony Randall. You know what I mean? Those guys.
I was just going to say, was it Alec Baldwin? He managed.
Right. But he was no Alec Baldwin. And he, I said to him, what do you, you know, do for a career? And he made $50,000 a year.
Oh,
I said to him, well, how would you afford my fee? And he said, well, this is how I figure it. You know, for what I want, I know that I'm going to have to spend, meet, you know, 50 different women, take them out. I figured out how much it would be per, you know, restaurant date. And I'd rather you do it. I'll just give you the money and then, you know, find me the woman. You know, he just wasn't realistic. I mean, I just said to him, I gave him some advice. Every Sunday he did karaoke. That was his thing at the local bar. And I said to him, why don't you make an announcement after your karaoke? Hey guys, you know, hey, fan, you know, to that group of people in that room that you were looking for a wife. I said, then you're going to be find somebody that's geographically desirable. And I think it's a cute way. Why don't you do that instead of hiring me? Because I didn't think realistically I could get him a wife. So yes, I don't take everybody on that comes to me. I only have 12 to 15 clients at one time so I can be successful. That I don't advertise, and I do get clients from word of mouth and people that get engaged. Their friends call me and that's how it works. That's how I get my clients. I don't want to take someone's money and not find them a match.
So how do you work that though? When you take on a client, what does the client get? Obviously your expertise and your guidance and your coaching, how many dates or potential mates? Cause I said this earlier, I love your tagline. I find mates, not just dates. So how many potential mates? Like when somebody, obviously, look, you are very high priced. You don't get called a celebrity matchmaker for nothing.
Right.
But what do you get when you sign up with Bonnie?
I used to give a certain amount of dates. That's what most matchmakers do. They give you a certain amount of dates. I tried that. And what would happen was, say you guaranteed a gentleman, I don't know, a minute, you know, 6 months, a minimum of 12 dates, or a year for minimum of 15 dates, or whatever it was. What would happen would be, we'd get to, let's say, number 11, and they kept turning down women because they would feel, oh, well, wait, maybe something's better. I only have two left. So I stopped doing that because I felt it was a deterrent. And I just unlimited. And, you know, you give a minimum, but it's pretty much of unlimited dates. I don't want them turning anyone down because they think there's somebody better that might come, you know, 2 weeks from now. I want them to go out, and I want them, people, to have relationships that are fulfilling, life partnerships, and get engaged, get married. That is what I do.
Is that your barometer? How do you check out? How does the relationship with Bonnie Winston Matchmaker end?
Oh, well, no, there are time periods, and you can do 6 months or you can do a year.
Okay.
And so, you know, listen, I don't hit it out of the ballpark every time. There is a woman that I knew from college, and she got divorced, and she came to an event that I was having. I invited her to the event. She called me. She said, "You're really a matchmaker?" I said, "Yes, come to my event. I'll have some people there for you." And I introduced her to one guy there, and it geographically, it wasn't going to work because she was way out on Long Island and he was in Brooklyn, and it just wasn't going to work because they both didn't want to put the effort in to, you know, make that happen, which, by the way, I can talk about after. I think it's ridiculous. But she ended up signing on with me, and I love her. She is Mary Tyler Moore on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She's fabulous. I introduced her to someone. She had a 3-month relationship. It didn't work out. She had other dates. It didn't work out. And our year came to the end, and I said to her, "Allison, I adore you. I'm going to make you a priority, even though you're no longer under contract with me. I'm going to introduce you to other matchmakers to put you in their database." And then I called 3 different people that I work with, that I collaborate with, that are my peers, and I sent her in. I said, "This woman is special. And if you have paying male clients that are over 50 years old, I want you to meet her." And she started going on dates with those people, those matchmakers, you know, with their clients. And I check in with her every once in a while. I still fix her up. Recently, right before the pandemic, I introduced her to someone that was in her neighborhood. I mean, literally 5 minutes away, that I met, who did not sign with me, but I introduced them and they started dating. And so we'll see how that goes.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to forget anybody. There are people that fool me, you know, that come on and say, "Yeah, I really want a relationship." And they just want me to be a dating service. One gentleman, I found out, had signed with me and at the same time had 2 other matchmakers. And he was just addicted to dating. He told me he wanted to get married. He told me his dating criteria. I introduced him to women that fit his dating criteria. I talked to the one other matchmaker, and I had breakfast just to dish, you know, about it. And I don't really think he's self-aware. I believe he really feels that he just hasn't met the right person, and he has met many of the right people. So he's just not a self-aware person. And I, you know, finally, I just one day said to him, "Steve, pick somebody already. Choose one. Just do it, you know, because you're a great guy, but, you know, TikTok."
Using a matchmaker can certainly take a lot of the disappointment and the frustration out of the game, I imagine. I don't know. I've never done that. For me, and, you know, you mentioned earlier distance. I live in Manhattan most of the time, and I, for the longest time, would flinch. Ugh, I'm not dating anybody in Jersey.
Oh,
I'm not dating anybody in Long Island.
By the way, Jersey's the best. Hidden gems.
Really?
Short Hills, Summit. I mean, they don't live in homes. They live in compounds. And these men usually stay there because they're divorced. They don't want to be too far from their children. A lot of them commute to Manhattan. Livingston's a great place to meet fabulous divorced men. It is really a wonderful breeding ground for these great, they're great.
We're going to use me as the example because I'm available.
Okay.
I'm not willing, I'm not moving to New Jersey. Right? That's not in my life plan. It doesn't mean I'm not willing to have a relationship with someone in New Jersey, assuming they work in the city.
Right.
Right. So I'm, I figured out that I can be open that way.
Yeah. Yes.
So
as I used to say that he, you know, he can't get a place in Manhattan either, you know, or that he can't stay while you're courting in the hotels are opening up now, or that he lives 20 minutes right over the George Washington Bridge. I'm not sure where you live in New York, but to go downtown to uptown can take 40 minutes.
Sure.
So, you know, what's the big deal if you have to go over the GW Bridge or you're in Livingston, which is a half hour? I don't know. I think I've just seen so many amazing people get married that were not that were open to dating other places.
Right. So location, you're saying, shouldn't necessarily be a disqualifier.
No, people work virtually now more than ever, especially in this turbulent time. Everybody's sort of working virtually. I mean, at least 50% of my clients. And I think that that should not be a deterrent, but I think you should be open to it.
I've become more open to it because my children are now getting older. So it makes it a little bit easier to consider, but I'm going to always want to be in the city.
Yeah, I get it.
But it doesn't mean I could have two homes.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Or men in Greenwich, Connecticut. Are you kidding me? So, it's 43 minutes door to door from Manhattan to Greenwich.
So if I do go out with somebody in Livingston, New Jersey, for example, I'm not going to him on the first date.
No, you shouldn't.
So how do we determine that now in this day and age?
You do it.
The rules have shifted a little, I think.
Yeah, I think a gentleman should absolutely on a first date meet the woman and where she lives, make it easier for her, at this point we're doing virtual first, and then if you click virtually or just on a phone call and you want to move forward, you see each other's photos, you pick, if the person's comfortable, we curate the dates and we pick outdoor locations. And then, yeah, I think the man should go to the woman first. I have a client that just got engaged. We fixed her up with a guy in Connecticut. She was a New York City girl, and he would take the train in to see her. And then on the third date, he showed her 10, he got a package and he said, I really like you. And I bought a pack of 10. I think if you buy 10 tickets on
Metro North, whatever it is. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Metro North, you get some kind of deal. And she's like, I think he likes me. He made a commitment. He bought like a pack of 10. And they did get engaged. And he said to her, come to Connecticut. And she said, I'm just not ready. Because she knew that she would have to stay over. And she just wasn't ready for that yet. And that's another thing. I mean, you know, I do give clients dating advice on when they can stay over, and you know, every relationship is different. Every couple is different. Some people hook up on the first, some people wait, you know, it just depends on the individual. But now with this whole pandemic thing, everybody's sort of waiting.
Right. Which I think is wise. Okay. So how many matches do you think you've made in the years that you've been doing this?
Oh, over 200.
Holy cow.
And some divorced. I'm not going to lie. There are some divorced.
But that becomes not your fault.
No. But my celebrities have all stayed married. Oh, but
are we dropping any names? So are you going to introduce me to Brad Pitt? How are we going to do that?
Can I tell you, I think he's really in a good place right now. He's recently sober through Bradley Cooper, he announced at the Golden Globes.
Yes.
I have a client that knows him and said to me, who would you introduce Brad Pitt to? And I'm like, really? He would just tell him he won't have to pay. It's on the house.
Right.
So the client said that to me, like, who would you introduce him to? I said, I have a list. Don't worry. Like a list. I like him more now than ever. And my clients, by the way, the celebrities, they're not all A-list. There's a lot of D-list. But I do have to sign NDAs.
I was just going to say, we're not getting any names, are we?
No, but I don't find them directly. I deal with their managers and their publicists. That's right. How they come through. So right. They come through directly. Like Brad Pitt, not that he did call, but he wouldn't call. He would have his publicist, Cindy, call if that was going to happen.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll tag him in the episode and let him know how he can find you for sure.
Yes, you're a star.
From looking at your website, you have what you refer to as a database. So what does the database look like and how does that work?
The database is free. Anybody can be in my database.
Oh.
Yes. You just go to BonnieWinstonMatchmaker.com and we will send you fill out a few questions. We will send you a client intake form. It will be seen by me and my staff. We're four ladies all together. We will share it with appropriate clients. That doesn't mean you're ever going to get a call from us. There's no guarantee. But if you fit one of our paying clients' dating criteria, we will then contact you, send you a profile on our client, send you photos of the client to see if you're interested. There is no guarantee. There are a couple of thousand people in my database. So, but you know, people have gotten married and that's one way we find our clients' introductions.
And do you match in the LGBTQ plus community as well?
It's not really my wheelhouse, but I have, I can refer people to three different women and one man that I work with that specialize in that. So I do collaborate with a lot of other matchmakers. That's sort of my secret sauce. When a client is with me, they are promoted to other matchmakers that I work with as well across the country and abroad as well. Even for instance, I have three different matchmaking agencies in London that I work with. They do have clients that will work in London. One gentleman I matched was in London a week, a month, and signed with them. And then they tried to match him. He lives in Westchester the rest of the year and contacted me, and I matched him up with three different women, and one did become a girlfriend.
I do love a British accent, by the way.
I do too. I'll talk to you in line. If Mick Jagger's looking for an eighth wife.
There you go.
Plenty of kids.
We talked about the pandemic a little bit, and I know you've done something actually really special and remarkable in this time of COVID. You've donated your services?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So I was sequestered in my Manhattan apartment. And I realized that it was not in anyone's best interest to go out and meet and date, and it was probably illegal. And so I was surrounded by a lot of people I knew in the health world. And one was a gentleman that worked in the COVID unit, a doctor in my building. One was my brother-in-law's brother, who actually is the top intubation specialist in the world, I think. Yes, number one. And he came to New York to help out from his rural home in New England. And the governor, Cuomo, I call him the love gov, he, you know, put it out there and just said, we need help. Please come to New York. And it just struck all of us. And I know it must have touched something in you, you know, how deeply isolated these healthcare workers were. At 7 p.m. every night, we all went out and on our balconies or opened our windows and cheered for doctors and nurses and people that were working in supermarkets. And you know how it was. And so I decided to bring joy the only way I knew how. And I contacted one gentleman who had set up mobile COVID testing units, and he was divorced, two kids. And I set him up with a nurse that worked at the vet hospital on 23rd Street. I set up a doctor who was doing emergency medicine with a woman that she was a nurse, but then she became a nurse transporter. So her job was to take people that were getting off the machines and the ventilators and then transport them safely to their homes and get them the proper telehealth care or occupational therapists and open up those desperately needed hospital rooms. And I set her up with the doctor, and their first introduction was a McDonald's because they were giving first responders free coffee. And then they went on another date to a golf course because the golf course was open. And then they had another date where they went to a train station and they looked at some kind of trains in Pound Ridge. So they've been dating.
That's great.
I fixed up a last responder who had done 22 funerals from Harlem Hospital. And these people could not be at the cemeteries. And so she would do virtual. She even had a drone camera flying over a cemetery. It was heartbreaking, heartbreaking.
Wow.
And I fixed her up with a doctor. Well, so far I've done 12 different introductions.
Amazing.
It made me feel good. And
it's making me feel good.
Yeah. But things have opened up. My clients in Florida are now virtually dating. They're meeting. And clients in New York are meeting. Clients in Connecticut are meeting. Even my Chicago guy is now his first date was last Saturday night. And he was very isolated. And I'm happy it's, you know, back up, but I'm still doing the work with first responders and last responders.
That's fantastic. Okay, one more question and then I'm going to let you go. And I'm putting you on the spot here.
Okay.
Give us the top three best recommendations to have in a dating profile.
This is just my advice that I give to everybody. If you walk into a room, you're at a party, you're on a dating app, you see a picture of somebody through a matchmaker and you hear those bells and your heart fluttering, and on the scale of 1 to 10, that person's a 10, you know, the bells and the whistles are going off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
Oh yeah.
That's the devil in disguise. So try to go from the 8 or 9, listen to your mother or your grandmother. I mean, you can still, you know, have a hot, you know, love life and be with a great guy who's a 9. They don't have to be the 10 that you can't even function. You need to just have somebody, a little normalcy in your life as well.
That's an interesting way to look at it, because we would normally think, oh, well, the bells and whistles, my heart's fluttering, you know, like that cartoon with the eyes popping out. Ooga. So you're saying slow down, maybe come down a notch or two.
And I think it's setting off something that maybe you haven't resolved in your childhood, and you're never going to resolve it with somebody. Like, maybe that's why it's the 10, because that represents your father. I don't know. But for some reason, the people that went for the 8s or 9s, they're really happy. And chemistry is super important. I get it. If you have chemistry, you can overlook a lot of crap. And if you don't have chemistry with someone, everything bothers you. So I am 100% in for chemistry, but you can have that with an 8 or a 9. A 10 is, to me, unfunctionable. You're just not functioning normally with a 10.
That's probably I've learned a lot already in our conversation, but that's probably going to be the thing that I take with me and carry. I'm going to have it imprinted on a card to say, if you're a 10, keep moving. All right. So can people find you, Bonnie?
So, Julie, I want you to be in my database.
Oh, I am. Awesome. Please. Hang up. I'm clicking.
Okay. I'm so excited. Great. Just go to BonnieWinstonMatchmaker.com and follow me on Instagram at BonnieWinstonMatchmaker.
Yeah, you know, you put really lovely posts up regularly, which are inspirational and hopeful and sweet and even kind of sexy sometimes. So I do follow you, and I love that you have that available. Okay, BonnieWinstonMatchmaker.com and then at BonnieWinstonMatchmaker on Instagram. You're amazing.
You do
wonderful things.
So do you. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. I'm trying. We're all in this together. And obviously when the virus slows down a little bit, we will find ourselves at a Manhattan bar having a cocktail.
Cannot wait. Oh, thank you for having me on your show. I love it.
Thanks, Bonnie.
So I am definitely getting on that database, BonnieWinstonMatchmaker.com. You should too. Bonnie and I touched on a few different things in that chat, and I love that she is continuing to set up first responders and last responders, which was a term I wasn't even familiar with. But our essential workers are giving their all during this pandemic, so it's great that Bonnie is helping them connect with others, and who knows, maybe she'll connect me with Brad or the LoveGov. But I don't know that she'll set me up with someone who has cats, because apparently, according to a Colorado State University study, women are less attracted to men who have cats in their dating profiles. The study showed that dating profile pictures of men with cats translated as less masculine, neurotic, agreeable, and open, and less dateable. So keep your kitties out of your profiles. I have seen so many profiles that very aggressively state that if you have a cat, don't bother swiping right, either because they're allergic or they just hate cats. Now, if you're allergic, fine, I can forgive that. But if you say that you hate cats, I don't want to hang out with you anyway. I think people with pets tend to be kinder, more compassionate, which is absolutely a quality I'm looking for when I'm dating somebody. And yes, I know, you don't have to tell me there are assholes with pets. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're a good person just because you have animals. But you know what I'm saying? You have dating profile tips? You have things that you absolutely look for in a dating profile that you put in your dating profile that seems to have worked for you? Send them to me. Online dating right now seems to be the only risk-free way to connect, so let's see if we can help each other out. If you send them to me, maybe I can share them. I'll share the good ones at least. I'll share the bad ones too. Love in the time of COVID-19 at gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at lovecovidstyle, and make sure you subscribe anywhere you get your podcast and leave a review while you're at it, please. On that note, you know the drill. Wash your hands, wear a mask, don't touch your face. This is Love in the Time of COVID-19. I'm Julie Stampler. Stay well.